Europe finally joins the anti-inflation club. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The European Central Bank is raising interest rates by a half a percentage point. That is the first time it has raised rates at all since 2011. So this is a big move for the 19 economies that make up the Eurozone. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG and joins us to talk about it. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So, you know, Europe is in this strange balancing act. Some countries have, you know, like 20% inflation. Some have closer to 5% inflation. What will this interest rate hike accomplish?
Well, first of all, the European Central Bank is behind the curve for the entire region as inflation has been accelerating, particularly in the wake of the war in Ukraine. So this is a difficult situation. We're still having to raise rates, but it really is different across countries. And also, there's a different fiscal situation across countries. And it really is hard, you know, because one policy isn't one size fits all.
We have several countries in the Eurozone, Italy, Greece, whose sort of financial situation is a little bit precarious, and raising rates could push them into dangerous territory. How is the central bank going to prevent that from happening?
Well, what the central bank is trying to do is they're trying to come up with, they've got an anti-fragmentation tool, which they're announcing today as well. I know that sounds like a lot, but it's really an effort to try to keep yields from blowing out and unwittingly triggering another sovereign debt crisis in Europe. And it's to basically hold rates. They'll still be higher in some of the high debt countries, but the key is to not have them blow up so high that those countries can't get access to international debt markets and default.
Diane Swonk is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG. Diane, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So as Diane was just talking about, when you raise interest rates, it means borrowing gets more expensive for people and for countries. And when you've got a country like Greece, which has a debt around 200% of its entire GDP, that's the highest in the Eurozone, you got to worry a little bit about how it might cope. Will it still be able to pay its debts? The European Central Bank says, as we mentioned, it has a tool to help, but this is still a concern. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, reports from Athens.
While higher interest rates cool price pressures, those higher borrowing costs make servicing debt more expensive for governments, and they slow down economic growth. That's likely less of a problem for more financially sound countries like Germany, but a bigger problem for nations like Greece, which has a debt at 200% of economic output, the highest ratio in the Eurozone. But the nation's deputy finance minister said he's not concerned by the ECB's action today. Instead, he said he's confident his country can bring down its debt and continue making improvements on unemployment, which is above 12%. And he said he's confident his country will avoid recession despite the global impact of the war in Ukraine on prices of food and fuel. In Athens, Greece, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
One of the many things that became apparent during the pandemic was the importance of sick days, paid time off for illness, your own or a family member's. Many workers that the country considered essential don't get sick days. They have to keep working when sick or risk financial crisis. Now, the Urban Institute has a new report looking at which workers can take paid time off. Spoiler alert, many still can't. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The Urban Institute survey asked respondents whether they're allowed to take paid time off from work, either sick days for their own illness or longer-term leave to care for a family member or a new child. Researcher Jack Smolligan says the survey found
gaps in access persist and are quite pronounced, skewed by income, race, and education.
Only a third of workers at the poverty line get any kind of paid sick or family leave, compared with 80% of higher income workers. Latino and Black workers are less likely to have the benefit than white workers, and fewer than half of women 18 to 34 get paid parental leave.
The United States is really an outlier. We have no national paid family and medical leave program, no paid sick time program.
Laura Narevsky at the National Women's Law Center says in the absence of federal legislation, state and local governments are passing paid leave laws. Benefits vary in length, how much of a worker's pay they replace, and who qualifies. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Twitter and Elon Musk will see each other in court, figuratively speaking, most likely, in a five-day trial set for October. A judge this week granted Twitter's request to fast-track the case. This is Twitter's lawsuit against Musk to make him follow through on his planned $44 billion purchase of the social media platform. Musk wants to back out over claims that there are more fake and spam accounts on Twitter than the company is admitting. From the outside, it looks like neither Twitter nor Musk is willing to give in, but you still can't rule out a settlement, says Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. He's litigated cases like this before, and he says that despite all of the fighting you see in the headlines, behind the scenes might be a very different story.
So, can you imagine being Musk's attorney and saying to him, I think we should think about settlement? He'll probably fire them. But if the attorney says, look, the judge has ordered settlement discussions, so we have to at least go through the motions, so let's talk about it, that gives the attorney cover to look like a tough person and still move towards settlement.
That's Eric Gordon, professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
We are fresh off the Major League Baseball All-Star break, with the second half of the season getting underway today. But Major League Baseball has been in the news for another reason recently. Last week, the league agreed to pay $185 million to settle a class action lawsuit brought by thousands of current and former minor league players over wages. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on what this settlement means for future compensation in the minors.
The lawsuit includes some 23,000 players dating back to 2009. According to the settlement, the average payout will only be about $5,000. But Michael Roach, a professor in the economics department at Middle Tennessee State University, says more than the money, it's at least an admission from Major League Baseball that they weren't treating these players fairly.
I think for a long time there was this attitude that, you know, you get to play a sport for a living, like you should essentially be grateful for that opportunity and that sort of stuff. And I think the understanding of it sort of evolved that it's, you know, it's essentially a tug of war over a big pile of revenue, and every dollar that's not going to players is going to, you know, ownership of the team.
Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred was asked this week why minor leaguers weren't paid a living wage. He said he rejected the premise of the question. Michael LaRoy, a labor law expert at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, says that tracks.
Well, the commissioner reportedly makes $17 million a year, so his idea of a living wage might be different from somebody playing in a Class A minor league town who's struggling to make ends meet.
The lawsuit documented that some minor league players are living at or below the poverty line. Many take on second jobs. Marty Conway spent 15 years working in Major League Baseball and now teaches sports industry management at Georgetown. He says what's happening in baseball reflects a growing awareness in society.
I think we're in a period of time over the last couple of years where we're talking about equity all the time, right? We're talking about equity in gender. We're talking about equity in race. And so there's a recognition, rightly so, of past treatment of groups of people who, frankly, help other groups of people make a lot of money.
This settlement comes as part of a restructuring of pro baseball. Major League Baseball got rid of 42 minor league teams a couple of years ago, which means fewer players to pay, and also fewer jobs in cities and towns where minor league baseball was a main attraction. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.